The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, there are the three duties of every believer, but also there are the four foundations of Christianity. The four foundations of Christianity, number one is prayer, when thou prayest. And so it begins in Matthew chapter 6, and it talks about prayer, and it says, when thou prayest. And then the next verse, it says, when ye pray. Thou is a singular pronoun, ye is a plural pronoun. So emphasis is placed on praying by yourself when thou prayest. Secondary prayer is when you pray corporately. Corporate prayer does things that praying by yourself doesn't do. But emphasis is placed on you praying by yourself because there's some things you won't pray about if somebody's listening to you. There's some things I don't want to pray about if my wife's listening to me. And then, so prayer is the key. Secondly, is faith, which is based on the Word of God. So if you are going to be a disciple of Christ, you have to read the Bible. Because this is where the whole Word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So you have the Bible, you have prayer. Thirdly, you have giving, when ye give. And you don't give to be seen of men, but men need to see you giving. Your family needs to see you paying the tithe. Your grandchildren, your wife needs to know that you're a tither, that you don't rob God. And then the fourth is discipline and foundation is fasting. There's no get out of jail freeze. And so the Bible talks about, and Jesus taught here, said, when thou fastest. So the question is, when do you fast? When is there supposed to be a time of fasting? Well, I want to share, and I'm going to share for 30 minutes. At 30 minutes, Mike, I want you to raise your hand. You got a watch? And I'll stop in 30 minutes. Is that fair enough? I know you like me already. Hallelujah. The first time that you're to fast, and when there's a death in your family, and a death particularly of cancer, diabetes, or some type of generational curse. There's a great scripture found in the book of Judges. In 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel, the 31st chapter is a story about how Saul had been defeated by the Philistines. They hung him. They hung his children. And the Bible says by night, the valiant men of Gilead came to where he had been hung and took his body off the wall and brought it to Gilead. And it says they buried him under a tree. And the last words of the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel says, and they fasted 7 days. When they fasted 7 days, what they did, they broke the curse that came on that land through Saul and through his sins. And what happens is the Bible says that God visits the iniquities of a family to the third and fourth generation. That means for 200 years, a person can have a family can have a curse of poverty. They can have a curse of cancer. They can have a curse of strokes. And one of the major things that fasting does, it breaks the curse. The Bible says in Isaiah 58, you shall raise up the foundation of a new generation. The curse will be broken. One of the great leaders of the first awakening, great awakening, which was a revival that came to America, was Jonathan Edwards. Well, he had a nemesis. His name was Max Jukes. Max Jukes was an atheist. His wife was an alcoholic. And he opposed him. And so later, they did a study on the Max Jukes descendants and Jonathan Edwards' descendants. A guy did his doctorate at Princeton University, and he discovered 1,200 descendants of Max Jukes. And here's what he discovered. Of those descendants, 7 were murderers, 60 were thieves and spent time in the penitentiary, 190 were prostitutes, 150 were convicts, 310 were paupers and had to be buried in an unmarked grave, 440 were alcoholics, and 300 died prematurely. Now that's a curse. That is a generational curse that was brought upon by a man who opened his doors to demons and devils. And many times people are come out of a family, and in that family there's all type of iniquities, and fasting is one of those things that when your relative died, and he's a family member, and they've had some type of iniquity or generational curse, you need to fast to break it off of you. My mother was a very godly woman, and when she got sick and was put in the hospital, I was on a 40-day fast. And it was Friday the 13th, and I was there at the hospital, and she started to pass. It was about 11:30, and I said, Mama, I said, she quit breathing. All those machines stopped. I said, Mama, you're not going to die on Friday the 13th, I'll tell you right now. And I said, I want you to come back. I'll let you go when it's the 14th, but not on the 13th. She started breathing again. I held her hand. It got about 10 after midnight. I said, Mama, it's the 14th. You've made it. And then she went on to be with the Lord. But my mother began to have Alzheimer's, and she began to have dementia. And so I said, I'm going to stay on this fast because I'm not going to have dementia. And it's not going to come on my family. And it's not going to come on my children in the name of the Lord. So when there is a death of a family member, you fast. When do you fast? You fast to release the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now, many of you want the gifts of healing, the working of miracles. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now covet, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, his Mercedes, his nice home. You're not to covet that because they're limited. But when it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're to covet them. You're to lust after them. You're to desire them. You're going to see a guy here in a few days. His name is Gustavo Paez. He is perhaps the greatest prophet in the world today, right now. He's stronger than William Branham was. I grew up, my dad was real good friends with Branham. And so what happened was there was a terrible rainstorm. I mean, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And I'd started a church over in Indiana. And my wife was pastoring that church. And so I decided to drive over there and check on that church. And when I came back, this rainstorm hit me, and I ran out of gas. And I coasted into this service station. So I got out, and I started putting some gas in. And I'm telling you, it was raining like crazy. And this pickup truck pulls up. And this guy rolled down the window. He said, "You Bob Rogers?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm William Branham's grandson. And God told me I'd see you today, and I am to give you this CD. And he gave me a CD. So I started listening to that CD, and it was William Branham preaching a message back in the 1950s. How many have heard of William Branham? He was a mighty prophet. And so in this, he talked about before the Lord comes back, there would be a release of the prophetic gift. And this prophetic gift would be stronger than was on him, and it would be multiplied upon people who are hungry for God. So I started praying. I said, "God, I want that anointing on me. I want that anointing on me. But I knew that God was releasing that. And it wasn't about a week later that a friend of mine called and said, we had this prophet here. And he told me about him. And I said, God gave me a word that there was going to be a release of these prophets. So I tracked him down. And he began to come. Now he lives in my city. His wife attends our church. And you're getting ready to receive. Now, how does that gift happen? How does that gift of prophecy, the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, how did Jesus desire spiritual gifts? Did he say, I want it, I desire it, I covet it? No. He fasted 40 days. And the biblical way of how to release the gifts of the Holy Spirit is on a fast. I was fasting 3 days without food or water. I don't recommend that kind of fast, but that is the most powerful fast, an absolute fast, an Esther fast. And during that time, I had a call from this Methodist preacher. I was in school at that time at Asbury Seminary, and this Methodist preacher had just received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he said, there's a couple in our church that they're dealing with some things that I don't know how to deal with, and could I send them over? Well, they came over. I'm on this fast. I feel terrible. I don't want to see them. And so they're in here, and I said, what's going on? They begin. I said, let me just pray for you. So I laid my hands on this woman. This woman screamed. This demon picked her up and threw her across my office. And, buddy, it was on. And I had never cast out a demon like that in my life. I was a young guy. And just married, and I remember I got down there, and I'm binding these demons, and her head started turning. I don't know if I turned my head the way that lady turned her head, my head would be broken. Then she raised up, and she hissed at me, and she breathed on me, and it was so putrid that I excused myself. I went down into the restroom, and if I'd had anything in my body, I'd have thrown it up. I dry heat. And this demon manifested in the bathroom. And this demon said to me, he said, you're never to get in this kind of ministry. You go back up there and I'll kill you. But I knew that if I didn't go back up there, I was finished. So I went back up there and I said, we had prayed for about an hour. And what happens is these strong demons push out the little demons. And they hold on. And I was wore out. I said, I'll tell you what, I want you to fast for a couple of days and come back and see me Monday, and we'll get the rest of these out. You didn't get that way overnight, and you're not going to be delivered this overnight. So that night I went home, and while I was, I went to sleep, and suddenly I became under an attack of this demon. This demon came right in my room. And this demon began to speak to me, and begin to try to accuse me of everything I ever did wrong my whole life. And I remember Jesus could have called a legion of angels. Now, depending on what you read, what a legion is from 10,000 to 72,000 angels. And that's what every person in this room has, between 10,000 and 72,000 angels assigned just to you. And I said, if Jesus could have called him, I can call him. And I said, I want 10,000 angels in this room. And when I did, the presence of God came in, and it looked like sparkly, what do you call those, lightning bugs. It looked like you took a nylon shirt and you shook it like this, and the sparkles came. And the presence of God came in there, and I began to prophesy. But from that moment on, I begin to see angels. I don't see them all the time, but the angels begin to come and visit me at certain times, and they would speak to me, and they would show me things. They'd show me things in the Bible. They'd wake me up, and I had a number, 333 and 444. Those are my numbers. And I've had angels come to me. I was smuggling Bibles into China. And this angel came to me, and he told me what to do or I'd get caught. He told me one of the people that were with us was a spy for the Chinese government. And so how did that happen? It never happened until I started fasting. And when I begin to fast, these angels begin to manifest to me. Now, it's a gift. It's not because one's more holy than another, but it's a gift of God. And these gifts of the Holy Spirit will manifest as you begin to fast and pray and begin to ask God to loose those gifts. So number one, we fast when there's a death. We fast when it releases the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And number three, we fast to break iniquities, and especially sexual addictions. Now, one of the strongest demons is a homosexual demon. And it's been my experience that when people are bound by those particular needs, those situations, that it takes a fast, and it takes them being filled with the Holy Ghost to be totally set free in the name of the Lord. In the book of Judges, there's a story about a Levite and how this Levite was traveling and he was assaulted by some people from the tribe of Benjamin. And they tried to molest him. And the host protected him, but they took the Levite's wife and they raped her until she died. So this Levite cut the body up into 12 pieces and sent it to the tribes of Israel. And they joined together an army of 400,000 Israelis. And they came against the Benjamites. And so the Benjamites retreated to this mountain. And they prayed and they said, God, what should we do? And the Lord said, go up against them. And so they went up against them and 22,000 of the Israeli armies were killed. So they came back and they prayed again. They said, Lord, what should we do? And God says, go up against them. And they went up again and 18,000 were killed. So the Bible says they came back and they fasted. They fasted and they wept and the Lord said, go up again. And they were victorious. They were victorious. So when it comes to sexual addictions particularly, there has to be a fast. Now I've got a front row of lesbians and people who've been set free from homosexuality. Every one of them, I had them married to other homosexuals and so forth. And God has delivered one after another, after another, after another. But it takes fasting. One night I was at an all-night prayer meeting, and this man came in. He had two sons. He worked a very prominent position as an assistant administrator for a hospital. He made about $250,000 a year. And so he was just real depressed. I went back and said, what's going on? He told me, well, Pastor, he said, I just left one of the parks where I had a homosexual encounter with two guys. He said, my wife doesn't know it. My family doesn't know it. My wife would leave me in a heartbeat if she knew that. And I think I got the victory, but then it comes back on me. And he said, I don't know what to do. He said, I got molested when I was just a kid, and it's something I've struggled with. What happens with a lot of people bound in that lifestyle? They go into abstinence, but they don't get delivered. They don't totally get delivered. So I told him, I said, well, we're entering this 21 days of prayer and fasting, and I want you to fast for 21 days. He always had a reason he couldn't fast. When you get desperate enough, you'll fast. And so he fasts that 21 days, and I'm here to say God totally delivered him. Now, when you go through deliverance there, and you're going to have this guy who's one of the great deliverers. He's one of the greatest men of deliverance. His name is Kedrick Timbo. He's one of the best there is, I'm telling you, in the nation. And there are different ways you can go through deliverances like that, or you can have a self-deliverance. And that's fasting. This man got totally delivered. I watched him for 6 months. He came to me. He said, Pastor, I'm totally been set free. Can I do something in the church? And I began to let him do something. They had a home group. And then it was about a year later, he got promoted, went to Kansas City over an entire hospital, a major hospital. But God totally set him free in the name of Jesus. Now, let me say the fourth reason that when you fast. You need to fast when you start this year on this 21-day fast. Now, I want you to wake up. I want everybody to listen to me. There's a scripture, and I never could get the grip on this scripture, but it's found over here in Matthew chapter 9. I want you to follow with me as I read it. Matthew chapter 9 begins in verse 14. Matthew 9, 14. Here's what it says. It says, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said, can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? That word mourn in the New Testament is to fast. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That's blessed are they that fast. And so how can the bridegroom, children of the bridegroom fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast. Well, Jesus is the bridegroom. And you don't fast when you go to a wedding. And as long as Jesus was here, you didn't need to fast. And the children of the bridegroom are you and me. And so Jesus said the day will come when the bridegroom or when Jesus will be taken away, and then shall you fast. And in Mark chapter 2 says, then shall you fast in that day. That day was Friday. And that's why the church fasted on Friday, because that's when he was crucified, when he died on a Friday. And so the next verse says, in verse 16, no man putteth a piece of cloth into an old garment, for that which is put to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. And neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the new wine runs out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. Now, here's what happens. Here's what happens to Pastor Barry, what happens to me, what happens in your business. You get a game plan. You set up a prayer program. And that's a great program, but those prayer program is the least and shortest lifespan of any type of program. People go on vacations, they take trips, they get out of this rhythm of prayer. You set up a business plan, and then it runs good for a while, and then suddenly it goes stale. And it's, so what happens is, this is a new year. We've got a president that God ordained to be that president. The Bible says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And if you can't understand that God's placed him in there, you would vote for the Antichrist and think you were voting for the right candidate. This guy is, God ordained him. He spared his life twice. And you're going to see a big turnaround. Now, I'm not saying he's saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm going to tell you, God's got his hand on him. And this Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, I have a dear friend that prophesied to him. And he cried like a baby. He's read the Bible through now 5 times. And he's got a long way to come. But I'm going to tell you, God's dealing with him. And there's getting ready to be a big change in our country. And so what happens is, that if we try to operate a church or we try to operate a business on what happened yesterday, it's not going to be successful. It's like football. You got to stay right on top of the game. You got to make the changes. So it's like you can't put new things into old garments. So when you fast, there's a renewal. And so what happens is they've studied these things now. Fasting, what fasting does is you enter this ketosis and there is a cell replacement in your body. So these cells begin to die, and these cells, if they remain there, that's what caused cancer, and that's what caused diabetes, and that's what causes heart disease. So when you fast, your body begins to renew itself and begin to restore itself. So what happens is you start getting bad breath. It's a sign that this thing's working. You get fatigued. And this ketosis, these ketones, you're releasing these ketones in your body. And so you know you're into this ketosis where your body is eating those cells. You have to go to the bathroom a lot. How many, you get on these fasts, man, you got to go to the bathroom every 5 minutes. Is that just me? I mean, it's everybody. And so what happens, you get into that and your body is renewed. That's why they say a fast where you lose at least 10 pounds, you'll live 3 extra years. Well, and then you start thinking better. When this thing starts clearing up, your breath becomes like a baby breath. After about 3 days, man, you got energy. You got energy. You got strength that starts coming back to you. And that is your body being restored through fasting. And then your mind becomes real clear. The other day, it was yesterday, suddenly my mind became so alert, and I just began to write thing after thing after thing, about 15 things that I felt like God spoke to me to do this year. And so that's what happens when you begin to fast. God gives you a plan for this year. And so what you do right now for the next 3 weeks, you're going to get blessed in July. Things are going to happen to you in August because of what you did here. Now, let's say that you get out of high school and you go to college. You have to work your way through. You're washing dishes. You're serving tables, whatever you have to do. So you struggle, you go through there, and so you get through and get your education. Now you get a job. Now you begin to make money. 30 years later, you're still blessed because of what you did back there. It's the same with fasting. And so this is a season for you to renew yourself, renew your mind. You become new wine in new bottles. You become a new garment. But it affects every aspect of your life in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you, I love this Presbyterian church. It's my favorite Presbyterian church to preach. How am I doing on time?
4 minutes.
I got 4 minutes. All right, let me go on here. You fast to get a breakthrough financially. Now, the first manifestation of sin was not sickness. Adam lived 930 years after he sinned. But instantaneously, he got poor. He had to make a living by the sweat of his brow. And so the first manifestation of eating was poverty. And this is why Jesus put that crown of thorns on his head. Listen, I've heard all kind of preaching. You have too. How that covers depression and discouragement. That covered poverty. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might be made rich. By his stripes we're healed. By that crown of thorns, he blessed us in the name of the Lord. And so one of the first manifestations when you fast is God begins to release money. He begins to release finances. Now, there are different stages of fasting. A half fast is a fast where you fast after 3 o'clock. That's a half fast. That's a good fast. A better fast where you get even a bigger breakthrough is when you fast 24 hours. The next breakthrough is 3 days. I fasted 2 days, didn't see any greater breakthrough, but 3 days, it's just like you break through the clouds. Then the next breakthrough is 7 days, 14 days. But when you get to 21 days, one of the major breakthroughs that happens is money. Is money. And so what happens historically, every time people fast, there's a financial release. Now, I want to talk just history just a bit about our country. In the 1700s, there was this Jonathan Edwards, and he began to fast. There was a fasting movement, and out of that came the Revolutionary War. That war would have never happened if there hadn't been a revival, and the clergy led our country into freedom. And then our nation, what happens, revival only lasts 40 years, and that generation dies. So for there to be a revival, it's got to happen over here at the University of Tennessee. It's got to happen at the high schools. It's not, you know, us, we don't have as many shopping days till Christmas. And so it has to be a younger generation that gets on fire for God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so what happened was, along came the second Great Awakening, and actually started in Kentucky with a Presbyterian preacher by the name of James McGreedy. Now, historically, it says the only thing that was notable about him, he was ugly. Now, wouldn't that be something history writes about you? He was ugly, but he had his church sign a covenant. If they were going to be a member of his church, they had to fast. And he had a fasting day, and out of that, it took about 8 or 9 months, a revival broke, which out of that came the Cane Ridge Revival. And so what happened after that fast, 2 years after that that time of fasting and seeking God, there became the largest land purchase in the history of the world, almost 1 million acres. It was right at 898,000 square miles was purchased by Thomas Jefferson for 14 cents an acre. And so God doubled America's wealth after that time of fasting. So then along comes Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a lawyer, and he absolutely affected the whole United States. And he did it. He had this black preacher. His name was Father Nash. He would go into a town, and he would fast for a week. He would fast for 2 weeks. And that's how those revivals started. It came through fasting. Well, his main sermon was against slavery and against alcohol. And so as he was doing this, suddenly there was the California Gold Rush. Are y'all listening to me today? What am I talking about? When you fast. So there's the California Gold Rush, and they're on their way out there. They go through Nevada, and their wagons get stuck in this nasty, stinky clay stuff. They cursed it, and they cursed it. But you know what it was? It was the Comstock load. A Comstock load was 2.5 miles of nothing but silver and gold. And with the California Gold Rush and the Comstock load, let me tell you how much gold and how much silver was recovered. I wrote it down here. There were 7 million ounces of silver, and there were 125 million ounces of gold. It was worth a total of 21 billion in silver, and it was worth 350 billion in gold. Now, to give you an idea, the whole gross national product of the United States was only $10 million. Now, what happened with all that money? That's what financed the Civil War. And so in this Civil War is when revival began to hit America and the troops. There never were chaplains until the Civil War. And so the Union brought in these chaplains, and Abraham Lincoln called for 4 fasts. How many fasts? Well, Jefferson Davis, head of the Confederates, he called for 7 fasts. How many? 7. And so Lincoln says, look, they're fasting for an unrighteous cause, and God will not bless them. So after the Civil War, what happened? We fasted, we prayed, God would heal our land, and there became the Alaska Purchase. The Alaska's Purchase was for $7.1 million, or 2 cents an acre, for all of Alaska. Every time our country's gone through a period of fasting, God's blessed our nation, but God's blessed our people. What happened to the South? They had 7 fasts. Well, never in the history of the world has a country gone through a civil war and never came back except us. And Vicksburg, decimated, thriving city. Atlanta, burned to the ground, the heart of the South. Richmond, a thriving city. All of these centers of the Confederacy, God restored them. And the reason is through prayer and through fasting. And so when you begin to fast, God begins to open up something. He breaks poverty off of you. He breaks lack off of you. You look at the 3 richest guys in the Old Testament, King Solomon, Daniel, and Joseph. Those were the 3 guys. And what did they have in common? They all fasted. It was Solomon who wrote, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. The word humble is to fast. And so for him to write that, he had to fast. And so he was a man that did fast. And then secondly was Joseph. Joseph was thrown into prison. You know how most people died in prison? They starved to death. And so the families had to bring food to them. I had a family member in jail, and they fed them veterinarian food. Now, I don't know if all jails do that, but don't get caught in Kentucky. And so we had to send money for them to buy food. Now, I said that teaches you a lesson. Hallelujah. But I'm here to say that God blessed him, and he rose to be the second in the whole nation, the richest nation in the world. And then there's Daniel. Daniel was in 3 administrations. Who gets Secretary of State under Clinton, under Obama, under Trump, under Biden, and then back under Trump? Nobody. But Daniel did. And what did he fasted? So he was 3rd in the kingdom of the richest empire of the world. Now, the whole thing they had in common is they fasted. The highest IQ is not the Jewish people. It's South Koreans. They have the highest IQ. But the thing that the Jews have done for almost 4,000 years, they fasted. It's a partial fast, but they fast. And I'm here to tell you, fasting breaks poverty. I'll close with this because I know my time's getting close. My time's up. I'm on this 21-day fast. I come to the Saturday before, and I'm praying, and God spoke to me about the 100-fold blessing. He talked to me when you pray, when you give, when you fast, and there's a blessing attached to each one. It says, the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So it talks about giving. It says when you give. And it says the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There's a reward just if you give. I don't care if you go out here and cuss like a sailor. You get drunk and mess with all the women. You'll burn in hell. But if you give, God will bless you. You're not going to get up to heaven and say, look, I gave and you cut me off. No, he'll give you the money. You won't go make it to heaven. And then there's a blessing when you pray. And it says, when you pray, it says, the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There's a blessing if you pray, whether you give or whether you fast. And then there's a blessing if you fast. My God, if you lose 10, 15, 20 pounds, how many know you're blessed? You feel better. But it's a 30-fold blessing. He said he'll bless you 30, 60, and 100-fold. And if you want to walk in the 100-fold blessing, you have to do all three disciplines. You have to give, you pray, and you fast. So you go on this 21-day fast. And then you're praying. So what happens is, if I prayed an hour a day, that's pretty good for this year. That'd be 365 hours of prayer. Amen? But if fasting is a continual prayer. When you sleep, it's a prayer. And so 21 days of fasting equals 504 hours of prayer. Hallelujah. You know how to make people mad? You know how to make people mad? Tell them to get up an hour early and you mess with their sleep. They'll get mad at you. And the other way is you tell them, quit eating. They all get mad at you. And this is why preachers don't preach a lot on fasting. Now, Barry's so skinny, you know, he doesn't eat. But what happens is, when you fast and you pray, and then you plant a seed at the end of the fast, God releases the blessing. So God showed me that. And so I went and I put, I looked in my savings and I had $2,000. That's all I had. So that Sunday, I said, I want you to plant a seed. That's the first time I'd ever done it. I said, I want you to plant a seed, and I put $2,000 in. And so so about 2 weeks passed. And that week, I decided I wanted to see if I could buy a piece of property. I've done a lot of rental stuff, and so I saw these units. There were 24 units. So I went over and talked to this guy, and it was a doctor, and he'd had a heart attack. And I saw those units, and I thought, God, I don't have any money. He won so much money, and so I said, well, I didn't want to tell him I didn't have any money. I felt terrible because I started looking, and I didn't have any money to buy it. And so he said, well, make an offer. I said, oh, I wouldn't want to insult you. He said, well, go ahead, insult me. And so I made this lowball offer, and then he said, all right, I'll take it. He said, I want $20,000 down, and I'll carry the rest of it. Well, I didn't have any money. And so I went home, and I said, well, Lord, you know, you said you'd reward me openly, and I could buy these units, these 24 units, but I don't have the money. And the Lord spoke to me how to get the money, and I got it off my credit card. I had a bunch of credit cards, and I got $20,000. I'm not suggesting this to anybody, but I got $20,000 off about five credit cards, and I bought those units. About a month later, I had a fire, and the insurance paid me enough money where I fixed the fire and had over $20,000 left over, and I paid all those credit cards off. And I ended up buying 100 units in that area, worth tens of millions of dollars. I've owned over 200 houses, and I never had any money to buy any of them. Barry said you have, so I saw how I could do it. God showed that to me through fasting. And so I thought, well, if I can do that on houses, I want to try to buy radio stations and TV stations. We have 13 television stations. Listen, when I started out, I didn't have a TV. And God showed me how to do it. I've got 8 radio stations. I carry all University of Louisville's football and basketball games on our station. They're all Christian or conservative talk, and I've got some sports. I carry the Colts. I used to carry the Titans. But how did that happen? I don't even listen to the radio. It comes through prayer and fasting. I fasted 100 days, and that's when God gave us that station over in Israel. Let me share this, and I'm going to stop. I really will stop. I was on this 21-day fast. It's about a year ago. And this angel comes to me. And this angel shows me a concept I've never seen about fasting. And it's this. We are a spirit. We have a mind or a soulish nature. And we live in this body. We're a spirit, soul, and body. Well, where does your spirit live in this house? This is a house. Where does your spirit reside? In your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Spirit of God's inside of us. In Proverbs, it says the candle of the Lord is the Spirit of God, searching the innermost parts of the belly. Your spirit man's down here in your solar plexus area. Well, where is your soulish nature? You say, well, that's in your mind. No, that's down in your belly too. For the Bible talks about the bowels of compassion, your feeling, your soulish nature. You see something you don't even want to eat. It affects you down here. You go by your feeling. I just feel this is my intuition. I've got it. It's down here. So your spirit man, your soulish man's here. And then what about your physical being? Well, is that your heart? No. You take a pill, and that pill can affect your blood pressure, but it's not dispatched till it hits your belly, till it hits your stomach. You take a pill for a backache, it doesn't work till it hits your stomach. You eat something and it's not right in your belly, and you know what happens? Your whole body's sick. And so the spirit, soul, and body all resides here. And so what happens? Who's the boss? Well, the intellect wants to rule you. If you can't see it, hear it, taste it, smell it, then it's not real. And so that's why so many people, they go to college and they buy into the evolution, they buy into these things, and suddenly they lose their faith. The spirit man's pushed way over here. And then there's this physical part. You know, the more I eat, the more I want to eat. The more I sleep, the more I want to sleep. And it wants to rule. And so what happens, the one you feed is the one who's the boss. But here's a spirit man. And this spirit man is not attached to your intellect. It's not attached to the laws of this earth. It's attached to the stars. And so when you begin to fast, you take the soulish nature, the intellect nature, and the physical nature, and you begin to repress that, where you can begin to hear from God and get the ways of God and the finances from God. Now, I say that because if you're going to believe God for millions and millions and millions of dollars, you're going to have to fast. Because your faith level begins to rise. Kenneth Hagin, I love Kenneth Hagin. But Kenneth Hagin taught that fasting was an Old Testament concept. It wasn't for today. And he was the greatest man I ever saw in faith. But he was wrong on fasting. Amen. Precious man. And so what happens... Faith comes through fasting as well. Faith comes through the Word of God. Brother Hagin said, you know, faith only comes from the Bible. No, it comes through fasting. Because the same where faith has to speak it, your tongue is an extension of your belly. So when you fast, it affects your tongue. And suddenly God shows you ideas. He shows you the ways to get money. He shows you all kinds of things. But it comes through a fast.